Hello, and welcome to the Governance Matters podcast from Governance Intelligence, formerly known as Corporate Secretary. In this show, we examine the work of governance professionals and the latest developments they face. I'm your host, Editor-at-Large Ben Maiden. Companies of almost all sizes need an effective entity management program to make sure their business network has an efficient structure in which all components comply with local laws and regulations. It can also provide valuable support for M&A and a means to minimize entity costs and ensure consistent governance. In today's episode, we take a look at Governance Intelligence's latest research report, which is called Entity Management, Keeping the Corporate Structure Efficient and Safe, and is sponsored by Mercator by Citco. The report, based on global research conducted amongst governance professionals, provides actionable insights for fellow practitioners. Among other things, the survey finds that, despite economic uncertainty, more companies than not are putting additional money, human resources, and particularly technology into their entity management programs. The research highlights the extent to which companies are seeking outside help with their entity management work and indicates that a number of boards are talking about the subject more frequently. I spoke to Kareem Abdel-Latif, head of Mercator by Citco, about some of the key results. He shared his expertise on what's going on behind the numbers and real-life examples of entity portfolio management in action, picking out advice for governance professionals and their boards. You can download the report now for free by going to the Research tab at our website, governance-intelligence.com. Well, Kareem, thanks so much for joining us today. As we saw in the research, about three quarters of folks that took part in the study say they use outside help on certain entity management issues, particularly in terms of subsidiary compliance, M&A, and regulatory reporting. Why do you think those are the types of work where folks look outside for help? Is it just it's a question of volume and the sort of resources you need to deploy in those areas? And have you sort of seen that change, the sort of focus of where people are looking for outside help in recent years?
Yeah, thank you, Ben. I think that's actually an interesting observation. And the first observation I would make about this is that almost three quarters, indeed, of your respondents do seek outside assistance for entity portfolio management, if I may call it that, or subsidiary governance. And the reason I think that they do that, and that's the first thing that I'm quite interested in, the reason that they do that is that they realize that entity portfolio management actually matters, is vital, I would say, to their organizations. I'll give you a little anecdotal illustration of this. I was actually visiting a West Coast-based client last summer, in fact, and they had just signed on with us for a fairly large portfolio of entities. And when I asked the cliched question of how to define success a year hence, let's say after a year into the relationship, the general counsel looked at me and she said, and I think she was only half joking, she said, "Keep my directors out of jail, please." Now, I think that brings across the need and the requirement for a robust entity portfolio management framework. So again, I'm not surprised that so many of your respondents will have answered that they use outside counsel. So three specific activities, I think. I think the first one is, that you mentioned was subsidiary compliance. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, again, it doesn't surprise me much that is one of the focus areas for your respondents, because if a multinational corporation or a multinational organization, by its very nature, of course, has entities globally dispersed in many different countries, in many different jurisdictions, with many different languages, and it's nearly impossible, I would say, for an in-house function to keep abreast of all the local requirements with only the use of internal resources. So I would say that it's quite natural for them to rely on outside specialist providers for this. And I think that also to some extent illustrates a point that we've been making for quite a while, that entity portfolio management, the international management of a subsidiary portfolio, is increasingly its own specialism, or as I like to say, a discipline in its own right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Sorry, carry on, please.
Yeah, I think the second point you raised was about mergers and acquisitions. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is something that obviously ebbs and flows with the business cycle, basically. But we've seen a lot of activity in that sphere in the past couple of years. Partly these are industry deals, of course, but partly also driven by private equity backed carve outs. That's something that, we've seen a lot of as well. And I think sort of it's inherently complex to disentangle a portfolio of entities or individual companies from an existing company structure, from an existing entity structure, and then on top of that, integrate those with the new owner's portfolio as well. Again, I can sort of, point to an interesting perhaps example of that, where last week we hosted a panel in London, a panel discussion whereby two practitioners from the field who are responsible for their company secretarial functions within their organizations, they both independent of each other sort of pointed to M&A being a key challenge for them. And they pointed to an example or an incident that they'd had where, they were not able to locate a particular share certificate or a set of share certificates in a particular M&A transaction, which in one case delayed the whole transaction by 6 months. So again, I do understand, apart from all the financial damage, which they did not disclose, but the embarrassment of that, to avoid that, I can see the need to revert to outside support.
So, generally speaking, when you sort of see a company, what are kind of some of the criteria they look at when they're deciding whether they can handle this themselves or whether they go to an outside specialist? Is it resources? Is it having the right expertise? Combination of the both? And what would your advice be as to when to use an outside expert?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I think indeed this, as you already suggest, is probably a combination of the both. It's probably impossible for a centralized function, or very difficult at least, to keep abreast of all the regulatory requirements for their international portfolios of entities, how that changes, when that changes, navigating that change, navigating that complexity, if you will. That is simply a colossal task for any multinational organization. And coming back to the point that entity portfolio management is really its own specialism, a discipline in its own right, then I would say that having access to that specialist knowledge is crucial for organizations. There is a resourcing aspect as well. And one of the things about sort of outside assistance is, of course, you can scale it up and down to some extent. You're quite free to do that. Whereas with internal resources, that is obviously a lot more complicated. Well, one other area where, we see an increased need for this assistance, for instance, and you may have come across this yourself as well, is ultimate beneficial owner registration. That's clearly something that, we see a lot of these days that clients and parties in the market reach out to service providers with assistance in this new type of regulation.
And that's can be pretty tricky stuff as well, I would imagine.
It is, and it obviously differs per. I mean, the broad strokes are perhaps quite similar, but it differs per jurisdiction. It differs, obviously now everybody is dealing with the U.S. Implementation of the CTA. So yeah, definitely that's something that is outside help is very much, I think, needed and required for this.
And as you say, it's become more recognized as a discipline in and of itself. Does that translate into more companies being more open and understanding or more interested in using outside advice in the area generally?
Yeah, I think it does indeed, and there is that recognition. And I think sort of, it all starts with that recognition. I think in the past, perhaps entity portfolio management, subsidiary governance, it's often been seen as almost like a clerical function, right? But there are certain examples that I can point to. I can give you another example of a U.S. An East Coast-based company director, a company executive, in fact, that we came across before they were clients of ours, and this particular individual went on holiday to New Zealand with his family, was stopped at the border simply because an entity of which he, maybe even without knowing it, was a director of, or had not complied with certain filing requirements. And he was stopped at the border there, and his holiday started
Oh, wow.
in a bad way, I would say. Now that's a relatively harmless type of thing, of course, but it just goes to show, I think, that the buy-in that you get within the organizations to set up a robust framework for entity portfolio management with the use indeed of outside providers, outside servicers, that is much more acknowledged these days than it has been in the past.
That's the last way you want to start your holiday, and they're the friendliest border guards in the world, in my experience. So you don't want to get in trouble in New Zealand with
Exactly.
if it takes a lot to get in trouble there. So But you also found that like more than half of the people taking part in the research say that their board discusses entity management on ad hoc basis rather than sort of regularly. But having said that, we also say that found that over the last 3 years, about a third say there'd be more frequent board discussions around entity management. And given how important it is and sort of core to the company and its welfare in many respects, is this an area where boards should be paying more attention? Should they be talking about this on a more sort of regular basis? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, this is also borne out by, let's say, our own experiences. And I point back to that panel discussion that I referred to earlier in London last week, where you know those two individuals who are tasked with that specific responsibility within their organizations clearly indicated that the boards are very, very interested and even created their positions specifically for this sort of oversight. So I think that yes, definitely boards need to pay attention to that. I think increasingly also that is in fact happening. I think, you know, that is, and again, that goes with the maturing of this area as a, again, that discipline in its own right, its own discipline. I think that sort of is a clear expression of that fact.
Mm-hmm. And boards, I think, are, and we see more of this in proxy statements, boards are discussing their oversight of various functions, whether it's ESG or whatever. Is this would strike me as an area perhaps where there could be more disclosure around the board's oversight of entity management. Is it something that you've seen or you would recommend as that you get more disclosure to shareholders about this area?
Yeah, I do think so. And again, I think it's important to realize that when it comes to managing a subsidiary portfolio, the chain breaks at the weakest link, right? What you see a lot is that entities are far and wide. They're far flung across the globe. And who has that oversight? Who sees that? Who keeps the company board abreast of all the risks that are lurking in those individual entities? That is a real challenge, I think. And that is also why I think it's good and proper and good on them that boards pay attention to this. And I can only emphasize that needs to happen and needs to continue and perhaps even needs to increase. I would also maybe stress that for the company secretarial department or for the legal function, it's also very much a way to demonstrate their value to the board, to provide that sort of transparency. So I would say it's very much a two-way street of the board, obviously being the consumer of the information, but at the same time, the company secretarial function, the legal department, the legal counsel function, you know, being demonstrating their value in this way by providing that information.
Mm. Now, we also asked people about changes in the level of resources and staffing that they have in their entity management teams. And I think, I mean, at least I was expecting it to be not having been the best year or so, particularly given that companies have been very concerned about, you know, the economic situation or economic uncertainties, I should say. But actually, we found that on balance, you know, there were more companies getting increased budget for entity management and increased sort of headcount for entity management than those who were losing on either of those fronts. I mean, I guess perhaps we've already answered the question in terms of why this is happening. Is it just an increased understanding of the importance of it, or is something else going on?
Yeah, and you're right. There is obviously an inherent sort of trade-off between, on the one hand, the need for a robust EPM framework or entity portfolio management framework, the risk management, the risk mitigation that brings. But on the other hand, of course, as you said, there are the financial realities. There's a perennial need to control cost and reduce cost. So clearly there's an inherent trade-off there. But I think you're absolutely right when you say that overall, this increase in budgets or this the fact that, you know, more money is allocated to these functions is a reflection of the recognition of EPM being vital to companies, being vital to multinational corporations. So I think, you know, that's a really positive step. At the same time, though, if you look at the cost control side of things, then I think, you know, you easily get into technological solutions, right? What sort of technology is deployed in order to do this as efficiently as possible, to get the information to the board in as efficient a way as possible?
Well, yes, brings me right on to my next question. Yeah, which again, we saw about half of the respondents saying that they're increasing their use of technology around entity management. Again, what do you, is this a, from a cost efficiency perspective? I mean, obviously, it can be used to for a number of has a number of benefits. Just sort of saving people time and energy and money. And more specifically, we see it going toward like legal entity tracking in as one of the areas where it's being used. What are you seeing in terms of where people are using technology more frequently or more widely?
Yeah, it's an interesting term that you use there, legal entity tracking. And perhaps I may try to sort of define that or give you my interpretation of what that means. And first of all, I think having accurate, up-to-date and complete data on your far-flung entity portfolio is a challenge. And that is not just for corporate data. Who are the directors? When was the last set of financials filed? Did we file an annual return or not? And who's responsible for all of that? But also the actual requirements that there are for those entities in those different countries and jurisdictions. So I think sort of when we think about legal entity tracking, that's how I would interpret that. And again, having that sort of insight, technology is very much vital for that, to get that sort of insight, to get that sort of insight in your central company secretarial department, in your and hence to the board as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, where have you seen the development of technology happening in the last few years? Are there any areas where it's come along and improved or just become more widely available?
Yeah, very much so. And actually, I think sort of traditionally, technology has been centered around mainly corporate data and the storing of corporate data, how to input corporate data, how to represent corporate data. So it's been very much sort of that aspect of data points in the life of a corporate entity or a life of a corporate entity portfolio, in fact. What we're seeing at the moment, and you know, we're very much sort of working on that at the forefront of that market as well, is not just the corporate data, but actually the workflows, the actual who needs to do what at what time, and also the information around what are the requirements in particular countries, in particular jurisdictions, what requirements are there, what deadlines are there, compliance calendars, you know, that sort of thing. So it's moved, I think, from the purely corporate data management more to including workflow management as well, and to give that full oversight, transparency, not just about the status and the situation at a particular moment in time, but also around who needs to do what next and where.
Well, I presume that's obviously become particularly helpful given, as you say, with larger companies having maybe folks in their EPM team in different jurisdictions, people working more from home, even, you know, during and post pandemic. So I presume that's becoming particularly valuable for a lot of companies.
Yeah, very, very much so. And in fact, you know, the pandemic is a good example of that, obviously, because from, you know, almost one day to the next, everybody was working from home. And how do you have access to data, to workflows? How do you actually perform your responsibilities? And technology has been absolutely indispensable. I remember sort of was it April of 2020, I think, you know, we went live with our own technology solution. And, you know, that was very much something that was needed. It was planned already for a while, but that was so much needed. I shudder to think what would have happened if, you know, that had not been available at that time. Mm-hmm. Life would have been a lot harder, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember people talking at the time about things like DocuSign, you know, just being extremely helpful to get things done when working remotely. And I'm sure in many other areas as well, it was invaluable. Speaking of technology, we all talked about AI, as is required in any discussion these days. There doesn't seem to be a lot of uptake so far, but obviously that's very early days and things are changing very rapidly. And certainly people seem to have quite open minds about using it. I just wondered in what areas you thought AI might become helpful in terms of entity management, whether that's something that you're looking at or considering, where we might go from here in terms of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I was also struck by the small fraction of respondents that actually use AI in entity portfolio management. And I'm struck, but I'm not surprised, to be honest, because AI is obviously a nascent technology. I've sort of dabbled around with, you know, some of these LLMs a little bit, sort of to try them out a little bit, but it's clearly a nascent technology. And if you think about and if you accept that entity portfolio management and a robust governance structure around that is absolutely vital to a corporation's health and to its interests, then I can understand it that the industry takes a rather cautious approach to implementing models that, what's the technical term? I think, you know, in some cases hallucinate and, you know, spew out data and information, which sounds extremely plausible, but may not be fully correct. You cannot fully rely on. So I do understand the caution around around implementing that. Having said that, you know, I clearly see that there is a lot of potential for AI to disrupt, in fact, this field. I think there is that potential. It's just a matter of figuring out exactly how to do so, and especially how to do so safely.
And I think also that probably there are cases where people are using tools that incorporate AI and don't always realize that. I think I've heard of that happening. But yeah, certainly, certainly there seems to be a lot of potential for uptake there. We also asked folks about regions of the world where they find it most difficult or most costly to conduct their entity management. And Europe kind of nudged out the US and Asia as being the region thought to be most tricky from that perspective. I just wondered what your thoughts were on that. Is it just, I mean, I imagine it's because it's multi-jurisdictional, although both the US and Asia are, but I just wonder why that might be and what some of the challenges are you know, managing entities across Europe.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct in you know, obviously the multi-jurisdictional character of Europe and, you know, different languages, different legal systems, different requirements across countries. You know, I think that that sort of plays into that perception of Europe being complex. I was also, you know, interested in this finding because, in a sense, I mean, it does to some extent chime with and to some extent contradict some findings from a Mercator entity management report. We issue entity management reports sort of at the end of each year, and we measure data points around the ease of doing business, you know, from our system basically. So we simply look at how long it takes to perform certain activities and how much that costs. And it is true that even there, indeed, Europe was considered or was shown to be slightly more complex than, let's say, North America. That is certainly borne out and chimes with your finding there. On the other hand, Europe was actually the cheapest region as a region. And I know that, you know, there are different countries, so there might be differences in individual countries. But as a region, it turned out to be the cheapest country to do business in. So I think to some extent, there is a matter of perception. And it's perhaps also interesting to see that, was it, I think, 58, nearly 60% of respondents of the survey were North America based. And I think sort of clearly the fact that, you know, Europe then may be less familiar to those respondents, that may have played a part in that, creating that perception or that outcome, if you will.
Right. Yes, it makes me think of that the old New Yorker cover with sort of like the U.S. being very much at the front and everything else in the far away and small in the distance. That might have play into the perception, I imagine. So just looking across the research as a whole, and obviously I don't expect you've been through completely in the weeds of this, but just from what you've noticed, I just wonder if any themes emerged to you about how companies are approaching entity management, and then sort of building on from that, what lessons you might draw from this as governance professionals who obviously are the focus of the research.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, I think sort of coming back to the previous point about sort of, you know, the Europe and the perception around Europe, for instance, and that's only one example, right? I think what you can see, and this is something that I think has been around for a longer time, is that company secretarial teams, legal counsels, they are rooted and steeped in one location, in one culture, in one legal culture, if you will, right? And to actually then be able to translate your knowledge, and they have a lot of knowledge, don't get me wrong, but to translate that to be globally applicable across the world, I think that is a key challenge for For legal counsels for these departments, in fact. So I think that, frankly, you know, in former days, what that would mean, and I remember those former days, I'm of the age that I actually remember that, basically people had to rely on individual specialists with specific knowledge and skill sets. And I think, you know, what we're seeing, and this came across to some extent from the findings from your survey as well, today, of course, you know, we have this technology-enabled entity portfolio management, which increasingly, I think, is the order of the day in helping multinational organizations navigate global complexity. So I would point very much to this whole technology, the development of technology around EPM, but always hand in hand with that specialist knowledge. The technology sort of codifies or should codify the specialist knowledge basically into translated into zeros and ones and bring make that available to clients online. That is the mission that I think we have. And I'm very excited to be working on that together with the rest of the industry, of course.
Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, we just lastly, I mean, you touched on this a bit earlier, but just again, going back to technology, I just wondered if you have any thoughts on what next really for technology, what areas you're looking at in terms of developing technologies that might be helpful in terms of the entity management universe?
My own vision, my own ideal, if you will, is to make entity portfolio management technology akin to, I'm going to say, a bank transfer, an electronic bank transfer, right? If I transfer an amount from my account to someone that I need to pay, I just go in once, I actually enter all of the data, enter all of the information, and probably it's already there, in fact, and it's fire and forget, basically, right? You simply provide that the whole transaction takes place online. That is eventually how I would hope that EPM will develop. Now, that's a couple of years into the future. Having said that, I think the development is already there, and the development is already happening and is already taking place right now.
Well, Karim, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for working with us on the research. Hope to speak to you soon.
Lovely speaking to you. Thank you so much, Ben.
Governance Intelligence invites you to download our latest governance playbook, available now. How to make your company's proxy statement a success. Sponsored by Nasdaq Governance Solutions, it provides expert insights from governance professionals at companies with leading-edge proxy statements. It presents actionable steps and best practices for corporate secretaries seeking to produce successful proxy statements that communicate effectively with investors and underline the company's corporate governance achievements. Download our special report to learn more about issues including why the proxy statement is important and how it is used, best practices on deciding what content to include, including additional disclosures in 2024, how to run an effective preparation process, and more. Visit www.governance-intelligence.com for your free download, available now. Governance Intelligence is also getting ready to host a new webinar in partnership with Alliance Advisors on March 14th. This webinar will explore how expectations around compensation are evolving both sides of the table, which metrics are most relevant for your shareholders, how to tackle different compensation structures around risks and rewards for management retention, and much more. To sign up, head over to www.governance-intelligence.com.
You've been listening to the latest episode of the Governance Matters podcast, brought to you by Governance Intelligence. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts, Acast, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Many thanks to Noemi DiStefano at the controls, and until next time, thanks for listening.